was thinking about that I wasn't ready for a Christmas pageant, and yet this is exactly what I needed in my morning and in my day and in my life and in my week and in the community. So I thank you all for participating. The Christmas story, if you think about it, is rooted in old, old tales that start with the winter solstice. In ancient times in Europe, when the solstice came, that's the shortest day of the year. That means light. We have the fewest hours of light that we'll have for the whole year. Our distant ancestors sometimes told stories of a miraculous child born to actually return us to the light. Throughout the world, people tell stories of a child born to a royal family or to an important and rich family who would grow up to lead humankind into a time of truth and justice. But the early Christians adapted these stories of miraculous births, but they added a twist to the old stories. Their miraculous child was not the son of a king or somebody important and rich, but was merely the son of a carpenter. He was not the son of a wealthy queen, but was instead the son of a woman whose only wealth was her, as they list it, moral purity, but it was just her goodness of character. And that Christian story has been told and retold innumerable times since those early Christians first began telling it 1800 or 1900 years ago. So we're going to recreate the old story of the miraculous birth of Jesus this morning, but we're going to give it our own slant. We'll draw on two early Christian accounts of Jesus' birth. They're from the books of Matthew and Luke. Since we take the story of Hanukkah seriously, we're going to make this a story of freedom and liberation as well. And drawing on our own Unitarian or our own Universalist heritage, we are going to make this a story of hope for all people. Because in our Universalist heritage, we understand that every child is a miracle. So there you are sitting in your own personal struggle. Listen and feel and notice that the larger story that is around us that we've referenced is not new. And simple hopes and light and love continue to show us the way, our way, anyway. So instead of just listening to or watching the story of the birth of Jesus, we're going to get inside it. So try to forget that you've ever heard this story before. Even though you recognize the familiar characters, even though you remember the familiar plot, try to hear this story as if this is the first time you've ever heard it. Then at various points in the story, I'm going to ask if some of you would be willing to come up here with me and play the parts of some of the characters in the story. Don't worry, you won't have to speak. I do have to give you a disclaimer. Some of you will have to wear masks. But when I pause and ask for volunteers to play parts in the story, if you want to be in the story, just raise your hand and I will call on you to take a part. I have to add that if there's only one part and 10 of you raise your hands, I've got to figure out how to pick one of you. So whoever I pick, the rest of you don't take it personally, you know? So when you're called on, you will move over there, here. Vicky put directions in here in parentheses. It says, always walking slowly and calmly. So you'll move over here where Marianne and Stephen are going to be standing. And they'll dress you in a simple costume. And then Vicky will move you and place you in this growing tableau. So are you ready? let's begin. All right. case you're wondering how I know where to stand, there's tape on the floor that says Jim on it. So if you wish, just close your eyes for a moment. Try to transport yourself to another time and another place. Imagine that a story, a narrative, is going to unfold before your very eyes. And it's a brand new story that you've never heard before. Imagine that after years and years of hearing stories about women and men bowing down before powerful kings and emperors and dictators and tyrants, you finally hear a story in which three powerful, wise people kneel down alongside some shepherds before one tiny newborn child and say, "This is where we need to focus to make our hopes for a better world real." Imagine that after years of hearing story after story telling of terrible wars, you are at last hearing the friendly story of a baby, the story of a humble carpenter and his wife, the baby that is born to them in a stable, shepherds in a starlit field who go to see this newborn child, and peaceful animals who gather round in the stable where the baby lies in the cow's feeding trough. Imagine that at last you are going to hear a story in which everyone is longing for peace on earth and goodwill to all persons everywhere. Imagine that after years of hearing stories about the results of hatred and oppression and persecutions, you finally are hearing a story about the transforming power of love. Now, slowly open your eyes. Listen and watch carefully. Let the story begin. So to start the story, I need someone who's willing to be Caesar Augustus, the Emperor of Rome. Hey, go for it, Ron. By the way, this doesn't reflect on who you are. It's just that you're willing to participate. In those days, long, long ago, a decree went out from the Emperor Caesar Augustus saying all the world should be registered so they can pay taxes to me, and people took him seriously. You're supposed to have your arms crossed. Very good. Now I need two people, one to be Joseph, a carpenter. I have a carpenter, and one to be Mary, who's engaged to... Oh, you want to be Mary? Okay. Okay, do we have somebody who'd like to be engaged to Mary? We need a Joseph. Yes, good, we have a Joseph. Perfect. It couldn't be better. Mary and Joseph, okay, they're getting their robes on. So, could you now please walk slowly and actually use the ramp because you're making a long journey. So from where you are up the ramp and imagine they have a donkey with them. Oh, and the first scene is a starlit night. So could several people in each section hold up your hands like this, as if your hands are twinkling stars. So, now don't everybody, because then, no, several, hold them up. Come on, let's have some stars, because you're going to get tired of being a star. And then when you do, and if you need to lower your hands, the person next to you might raise their hands and be stars too. So everybody can be stars. Very good. Okay. Keep twinkling. All right. All the people, keep twinkling, stars, and if you put your hands down, somebody else raise theirs. All the people were required to go to the town where they had been born to register. For some people, that meant a long journey. Joseph, a carpenter, had to go all the way from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the city of David. He went with Mary, the woman he was planning to marry, because she was expecting a child. They started on their long journey, traveling by day and sometimes even by night. Keep twinkling in there. Their road lit only by stars. Joseph and Mary knew it was not going to be easy, what with Mary almost ready to have her baby. At least they had a donkey that Mary could ride on, and at least the twinkling stars made the road seem friendly. Thank you for the stars. Now that Joseph and Mary are in Bethlehem, you can put your hands down. When Joseph and Mary got to Bethlehem, they discovered that there was no room at the inn, but the inn was the only place in town with comfortable beds. Then the only place Mary and Joseph could find place to take shelter was in a stable cut into the side of a hill. So they settled in to sleep there among the animals. So guess what? I need some animals. I need a cow. Okay, or a pig, two chickens. I'm sure there was a mouse. So, animals, a cow, a pig, two chickens, a mouse. And since this was the Middle East, let's add a camel. Who would like to be the camel? Do we have a camel yet? Nobody's going to be... There's a camel. All right. Or maybe it's a pig. We kind of lured you in with the camel part. So, all these gentle animals welcomed Joseph and Mary into their stable. And that very night, the time came for Mary to give birth. I'm not sure what to do next. You have to wait for these things to happen. You know, you can't force them. It was a stable. So when the baby was born, of course, there was no cradle for Mary to lay her baby in, but one of the cows was kind enough to lend her feeding trough for a cradle. And Joseph and Mary laid their new baby there among the hay in the trough. Now I'm going to need two shepherds, okay? Do I have two shepherds? Come on, folks. Oh, there's a shepherd. I see. We got two. Okay, now, since they're shepherds, they've got to have sheep. So they need sheep to watch. So maybe you who didn't get to be shepherds can be sheep. Anybody? Come on, let's have some sheep. How many sheep do we need, Vicky? We need three more sheep. Oh, we got them. Three sheep. And now, I need one person who's willing to be a messenger from the God of the Israelites, also known as the angel of the Lord. Priscilla is perfect. All right. We've got to herd some sheep. Got some sheep? You're a shepherd. And we've got some sheep. You got shepherds. Very good. Hang in there, choir. In that region, there were shepherds who lived for months at a time out in the fields watching over their flocks of sheep by night. They had to watch over their sheep because there were wolves in the hills that would gladly eat a sheep if they could get one. So, this is where we sing the first verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Oh, I don't have that at all.
No? Oh, angels we have heard on high.
Okay, so the
girls. Yeah. We join in the second verse.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Why is to
be why his souls of heaven cheer? What great brightness did you see? What glad tidings did you hear? Gloria in excelsis Deo.
On this night, as the shepherds stood watch in their fields, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and this angel was truly magnificent. And the glory of the God of the Israelites shone around the shepherds, and not surprisingly, the shepherds were terrified. But the angel spoke gently, saying to them, "Do not be afraid, for I have appeared to bring you good news of great joy for all the people of Israel. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah. This will be a sign to you. You will find a child wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a cow's feeding trough." I see we're going to need a lot more angels all of a sudden. Would our chalice singers please join us on stage and be our host of angels? Then the angel who had spoken went on to say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth let there be peace and goodwill among all people everywhere." And there was a whole host of angels singing and praising God, and the shepherds were amazed. Upon hearing the message from their God and hearing the songs of the angel choir, the shepherds said to one another, "This is amazing. Awesome. Let's go up to Bethlehem and actually see the baby the first angel told us about." And being good shepherds who cared about their sheep, they brought the sheep along. So the shepherds went to Bethlehem with their sheep, and there they found Mary and Joseph and the new baby, just as that angel had told them. Afterwards, the shepherds would tell everyone what the angel had said to them about Mary and Joseph's new baby, and everyone who heard their story was amazed. As for Mary, she already knew her baby was wonderful, but she listened carefully to what the shepherds said and treasured all she heard in her heart. The shepherds and sheep gathered around the feeding trough, admiring the baby. They praised their God for this wonder of new birth. And they prayed and hoped that what the angel said would come true, that there would be peace on earth, that there would be peace on earth and goodwill for all people, even for lowly shepherds. Now I'm going to need three wise people who are also royalty. After you get your crowns at the back of the church, please begin walking slowly up the aisle and then stop at the first pews there. Okay. After Jesus was born to Bethlehem, three wise persons who were kings and queens from the Far East came to Jerusalem. There were good people in positions of power who understood the importance of this humble story. And these three wise persons journeyed their long, slow journey to Bethlehem. Actually, it took them 12 days to get there, which is why we talk about the 12 days of Christmas. They noticed that their way was lit by a large and bright star. It looks like I'm going to need someone to be the star, even though they've already gotten there, but someone to be the star. Wow. So you're a star. There you go. First, they've already gotten here, but the wise persons went to visit King Herod. I need someone to be King Herod. Very good. And they, you can stay seated right where you are if you want. These wise persons went to Herod and asked, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the skies, and we have come to praise him and bring him gifts." The three wise persons learned from King Herod about a prophecy which had been spoken long ago, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So the wise persons set out for Bethlehem, and as they walked, they saw ahead of them the star, as they first had seen it in the Far East. The wise persons followed the star until it stopped over the stable where the newborn child was lying in the cow's feeding trough. So, when the wise persons entered the stable and saw the new baby, they were overwhelmed with joy at this new life. They knelt down to worship him or to show everyone how they felt about him, that he was worthy, as I would add, as every child is. And they opened their bags and brought out gifts of gold, because the crowns of kings were made of gold, and frankincense and myrrh. Myrrh was what was put in the oil used to anoint kings. So they've arrived and shown everyone how they felt about him. So now, the story is done. Let us pause for a moment. Look at this scene. Bring it back. It's a special night, complete with stars and angels and shepherds and wise persons and animals. And they are all admiring a special baby that has just been born. Why would all these people stand around for such a long time to admire a tiny new baby? There's only one reason I can think of. Because the birth of a child always brings hope for the future. And for a people who lived under oppressive Roman rule, all the while longing for liberation, the birth of a child must have been fraught with extra meaning. Will this be the child who leads us to freedom? Will this be the child who breaks our bonds of slavery and establishes a reign of peace and righteousness? So it is in our world today. In a world that sometimes seems hopeless, we still look with hope to the future. Every time a baby is born, we hope that this child will be one of the ones who leads us to a world of justice, goodness for everyone. And yet we know we are the ones who must raise all our children as creators and participants in that world. And every time we tell this Christmas story, it reminds us that we must go out and work for that liberation and justice. We, you, and I are the ones who are responsible for making sure the world is a better place for all the babies that are born. Each night, each starry, let's have the stars, starry night.